Thank you for choosing to listen to the Hope Rock Church at Lake Travis podcast. For more resources and information on our church or our team, please go to www.hoperockchurch.com or find us on Facebook.
What was interesting is as we were praying this morning, Jeremy was leading us, and I was just reminded of this picture of us being the almost manifest presence of God here on this earth. When Moses spent days in the tabernacle with God, what would happen often is he would leave. In fact, he would come out of there and his face would be shining to the extent that he would have to put a veil over his face because people couldn't look at him. And so this morning, as Jeremy was leading us in prayer, I felt on my heart for all of us as a church that when we walk out of this room today, that we would leave with people looking at us thinking, wow, there's something different about these people. There's something of Christ in them, on them. There's something of an anointing that they carry, or maybe they don't even understand it. There is just something about them that I want to get to know about, get to know a bit more about. Amen? So I just wanted to give you a quick update as to where we are with the venue, because that's what I've been doing every week. I've decided not to show you a photo this week because I'm trying to save for a big photo next week. I think the photos every week are, you know, there's a lot of progress that's happening. But the update is we've started to... I mean, it's such a strange term, tape and float. I don't know what that means. In South Africa, it's called plastering. We plaster the walls, but that's been done. We are about to move into finishing off the painting this week, and we're starting the painting, the finishes, the painting work, the floor work, and getting all of that done. So we're still aiming and trusting God for a 1st of March move-in date. That being said, we have this awesome venue that just popped out of nowhere. I mean, not that it wasn't here. I mean, you guys who were here, were meeting here, but... I think it's pretty awesome, right? I think it's a great space. And what we are going to try and do is encourage the school to allow us to continue to use the space until we move to the new venue. We're just trying to shift things up here, keep you guessing. Maybe we'll move somewhere else. Maybe we'll be on the football field 1 week. I'm just kidding. This is where we're probably going to be. But I'm excited because I think God's doing something. It's not about where we meet. It's about who we're meeting with. Amen? And we're meeting with our King. So that's the update for this week on the venue. Charlie, if you could come up. I don't know where you are going to stand.
I'm going to figure it out. Whoa, okay. That's super loud.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't really need that much stuff, but I'm going to.
Okay, let me pray for you, and then we can go.
Yeah.
Father, I pray for Charlie as he brings your word. I pray, Lord, that you would touch him, that you would fill him with your Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that you would move in our hearts, that you would prepare in us what it is that you want to teach us, and that we would remember everything that you want us to know, and that you would just set us free, Lord, from the things that hold us back from walking into the full inheritance that you've got in store for us. We love you, Lord. Pray for Charlie. Amen. Comfort him, strengthen him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. And I don't know if the little light guys up there, whoa, yeah, my soul almighty, y'all can, like, take the sun down, turn down the sun so that I mean, I could go to the car and get my shades or something. Holy moly, I just don't. That's better. Thanks. I mean, you could turn you can like burn the people in lights and leave me in the dark, because that's who I have to talk to anyway. Blake asked me last night, do I have trouble sleeping before I preach? And I was like, no, dude, no problem. And at 12:45 last night. This morning, I was laying there thinking about stuff, and so maybe I lied. But, I mean, I don't feel tired, so it's all good. But I was thinking about this, I mean, because you guys know that I always come with way too much stuff to share. There's this term, I know all of you all have used it and heard it, you know, where they say, you know, she finally found her voice. Right? You've heard that, you know, you've used it. She found her voice, you know, and I was like, okay, what exactly does that mean? And I think it kind of basically means, you know, she or he, you know, got their confidence and was willing now to, you know, bust out and say what's on their heart and be who they are instead of hiding back in the shadows. And I thought that is so super appropriate for where this message wound up going. It really wound up going somewhere kind of different than even what was in the E-News Thursday. That's the danger of, you know, Marcus says, yeah, so what should we say? And so I type up this stuff like, this sounds really crafty, and yeah. I think it sort of almost kind of maybe has something to do with it. You know what's really creepy, Colby, is that your head is cut off. I'm sorry, man. I'm so easily distracted by headless people. But anyway, so we're, speaking and finding our voice, because where we're going with this ultimately is evangelism and sharing our faith. That's what we're going to be talking about today, and all of us need to find our voice when it comes to the gospel, because the gospel isn't shared by pantomime. Just telling you, a lot of people say, well, I just kind of like to live my faith and let others see it. The Bible doesn't ever really say that's how the gospel gets spread. Gospel gets spread by our voice and by speaking. That was supposed to be somewhere later, so now I can be done. I think that's basically the point. It's over. We're done. Somewhere we can do a couple of scriptures and away we go. So we left off. We're back in Acts. We're in chapter 14, and Marco did 13. And where we left off in chapter 13 was Jesus sending Paul to the Gentiles. And they were, like, super excited. They said, yes, this is awesome. Yeah, the Gentiles, what? And which is actually for us to celebrate as well, because we're Gentiles. Unless, of course, you can trace your heritage back to Israel somewhere, you fall into the term Gentile. And Jesus took the gospel to the Gentiles in Asia and Europe and Africa. It spread down in southern India early on in the day. And so we're here today because of the end of chapter 13 when the gospel was sent to the Gentiles. And so that's pretty awesome. It's an answer to Jesus's prayer in John chapter 17 when it says, I don't ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I mean, when I read that, I'm just like, God was praying, Jesus was praying for my salvation 2,000 years ago and said, Lord, those people down the road are going to believe and it's going to be awesome. So it's really pretty cool. And then at the end of chapter 13 in verse 49, this is where it starts getting really awesome. It says, the word of the Lord was spreading through the whole region, but the Jews incited the devout women and of high standing and the leading men of the city, stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and drove them out of their district. But they shook the dust off their feet against them and went to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. So there's some things that we're going to see here. Being filled with the Holy Spirit. Marco has taught like 3 weeks out of the last four on the importance of the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Holy Spirit and how desperately we need that. And sometimes we don't really think of it as something that, this is our daily breath. We need the Holy Spirit to fill us. But these guys, they got persecution stirred up against them, and they said, all right, see ya. And they were filled with joy and the Holy Spirit in the face of really serious trials. And it's going to get worse here in just a second, and it's going to be glorious. But guys, I think, people that are filled with the Holy Spirit, they speak with Jesus often. They spend time in God's Word. They encounter opposition. You will, if you're filled with the Spirit. Jesus said you would. They have unspeakable joy. They experience the miraculous work of God around them. They understand that the power to live for Jesus comes from God. And so that gets us to this, which is really important. We're going to jump over to 2 Corinthians 5. All of us probably, or some of us, or one of us, have heard, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation, right? The old is gone, and behold, the new has come. But we stop there because we're like, this is awesome. If I'm in Christ, I'm a new creation. Oh, did you shut your Bible on that one? No, I thought you were like, close the Bible. That's all we need. But then it moves on, and it says this. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation.
That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their sins, their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. It gets better because, like, oh, yeah, thanks, Jesus. Yeah, I love that message. It's awesome. I'll hang on to it. I love that. It's so, it makes me comfortable. I feel good at night. I sleep better because you've given me that message of reconciliation. I am reconciled. But he says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Ambassadors, folks, ambassadors speak, but they speak for another, and that's who we are. So we're all called ambassadors, which means all of us are called to speak for another. And he says, all of us are given the ministry of reconciliation. And so I just want to stop real quickly and say, because, see, when we start talking about sharing our faith and evangelism, you know, I tell you, I'm old, I've been there, done that, heard this and all this. You know, some people are like, yeah, you know, I don't have the gift of evangelism. I don't have that gift. You know, so I can just be quiet. It's awesome. I just get to live my faith for Jesus. And I'm like at this and go, yeah, no, I don't think so. You know, I don't know too many ambassadors. I think if you were an ambassador for the United States of America and you went to your ambassadorial place and you just sat in your office and never spoke and never did anything, you'd be fired. Yeah, so we're ambassadors. So put that in your journal and say, this is how we are. We're ambassadors. And so now we get to chapter 14 where it starts getting really fun. Now at Iconium, they entered together into the Jewish synagogue and spoke in such a way that a great number, both Jews and Greeks, believed. Sounds like they found their voice. They spoke in such a way that a great number of both Jews and Greeks believed. And when I read that, I thought, I wonder if when Paul was writing Romans 1:16, if he was thinking about this moment, because Romans 1:16 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God to salvation for those who believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I wonder if Paul thought back to his time right here in Iconium and said, yes, I saw Jews and Greeks come into faith in Jesus because I spoke the word of God to these people and God just did this amazing thing. So, you know, sometimes I wonder why we don't see too many people coming to Jesus and coming to faith. And it may be because we're trying to act them to Jesus instead of speak to them about Jesus. Yeah, you know, I'm like, I thought, yeah, this would be the last time I get to preach. People are going to like, yeah, Charlie, that was a message. I'm going to say it's a very good one, but yeah, whatever. I think it's just as simple as us finding our voice and speaking. And that's what I hope to do for you guys today and to help you to be inspired by that. Romans 10:14 says, how will they call on him whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? And you're like, I'm not a preacher. No, a preacher is just somebody that's sharing the word of truth. So if I look here and I say, oh, you're a believer? Awesome, preacher man, preacher girl, preacher, come on, preacher. You know, so I'm looking at all a bunch of preachers right here saying, let's go down out there and let's start preaching. It's going to be awesome. So what's at stake, though? I mean, here's the deal. What's at stake if the gospel is not spoken? I mean, I think we have to, that's where the rubber really hits the road for me. And let me tell you, guys, and I think I've shared this before, and, you know, I used to be way more evangelistic than I am right now. You know, I would just talk to the paint on the wall, you know, tell the paint on the wall about Jesus, you know, whatever. And now, you know, I'm much more sophisticated. Well, I need to, you know, just really weigh the situation out and make sure that the timing is just right and this relationship is just, you just bring it along and then, boom, we'll you know, spraying the gospel on them. And yet in Iran, as I shared with you last time, you know, where the church is growing faster than anywhere in the world, every time a believer meets somebody else, they look at them and go, this could be another discipleship opportunity. And they look at him and they begin, you know, chatting with them and saying, okay, hey, Lord, what's going on here? Hey, what's up? You know, pretty soon. I mean, they're looking for a way to work in their testimony and to say, yeah, you know, Jesus. And they're like, whoa, talking about Jesus. And that's in a country where, you know, you can die for doing that, for sharing your faith. So just saying, it may be that we just don't speak. So what's at stake if the gospel's not spoken? I mean, do you really believe that people die and go to hell forever? I mean, if you believe that, that's what's at stake. If you don't believe that, then you should just probably check out. Because, I mean, that's the truth. That's the bottom line. That's the deal. So we get to verse 2. We got past that page. The unbelieving Jews, it says in verse 2, stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. So they remained for a long time speaking that word boldly for the Lord, who bore witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. I think it's fascinating that Paul and Barnabas remained after the minds. These people are stirring up the Gentiles that are poisoning their mind against them. And so, you know, we're like, oh, well, mine's been poisoned against me, so I guess whatever. You know, that's kind of how I would go. Those people, you know, they've been to some crazy liberal college and they just believe all that crazy liberal stuff. So, you know, I don't need to talk to them. And it says they remained for a long time. Now, there's a lot of lost people that need us to remain for a long time in their lives. You know, sometimes bringing people to Jesus is long haul stuff. Sometimes it's like, bam, you know. Sometimes it's like you're just enduring in their life with them, and you're remaining for the long haul with them because that's just what God's called you to. So look for the long hauls. Look for the quick ones, you know, because Paul and Barnabas remained. They kept speaking boldly. I think, you know, obviously we're prepared, or we should be prepared, to encounter unbelief and intellectual and social opposition, right? I mean, that's what we fear. Come on, say it, you know. If I share the gospel with my coworker, he'll think I'm a weirdo, right? If I share the gospel with my client, I could lose a sale. If I share the gospel here or there, you know, no telling what I might lose here in Lake Travis. Don't know. Could lose my position on the football team. I don't know what you'll lose. But we're going to do it. But we fear stuff. But here's what's interesting. So they're speaking boldly for the Lord, who bore witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. And I was thinking about this, and I asked a bunch of youth minister people, because they know stuff. And I asked some preacher folks, I said, do you know of any miracles that happened in the book of Acts that was not associated with the speaking of the gospel? Couldn't come up with any. No miracles happened apart from the sharing of the gospel. And so my question is, do you want to see miracles? Yeah, I want to see a miracle. Hallelujah, that'd be so cool to watch somebody get up and walk. You know, but, well, you need to be involved in the ministry of reconciliation, doing your ambassadorial duty, and then you'll see Jesus begin to work and do stuff. But, I mean, if you don't want to see miracles, then I'm like, yeah, dude, sit at home, watch Netflix. You know, whatever suits you. You know, just hang out. It'll be all right. And I'm going to tell you something that I think is really phenomenal, because, you know, we love to see like a physical thing, you know, like, whoa, bam, you know, because they happen. But here's the thing. The greatest miracle you're ever going to see is the conversion of a heart to Christ. Because here's the deal. Spiritual reality, guys, is greater than physical reality. Spiritual reality is eternal. Spiritual reality is forever. And to take a dead heart, dead in trespasses and sins, and watch it come to life is the greatest miracle you will ever experience. You're not going to see that happen if you don't speak. Going to have to speak, people. Spiritual reality is greater and more eternal than the physical reality. So, I say it scares me. Let me just put it right out here. You know, I think about people I need, oh, yeah, I need to share the gospel. And then I think, well, maybe this isn't the right time. And Audrey and I were talking about this the other day. Well, she said, yeah, I felt like God said, you know, I should go talk to somebody. But I thought, well, that's really weird. You know, some girl's crying in the bathroom stall. You know, I mean, that's kind of weird. So I didn't ask her for permission to share this. And she said, but I just wasn't sure if that was, you know, God speaking to me. And so then I was thinking, you know, so then I asked the question. So would Satan tell you to go speak to somebody about the gospel that's crying in a bathroom stall? No. Then it was probably God. You know, so it's like, you know, so if you're hanging around and you're like, you know, you just feel this sense on your side, you know, I should probably speak to them about the Lord. I'm pretty confident it's not the devil. You know what I'm saying? The devil's not saying, yeah, I want you all to share your faith like crazy people. It'd be awesome. No, Satan's not doing that. But I'm telling you, it's a little scary. But look, the results of sharing the gospel are not up to you. Listen to what it says in verse 4. But the people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews and some with the apostles. Now I want you just to ponder for just a second who it was that was speaking. It was the Apostle Paul, people. You know, he's the guy that wrote the Roman Road to Salvation. Come on, he wrote half of the New Testament, or a third of it, actually. But anyway, you know, we're talking about the Superman for Jesus. The Apostle Paul is speaking, and the city was divided. So sometimes we think, well, I'm just not a very good speaker. You know, well, Paul was a very good speaker. And so you think, well, if it's all about being a good speaker, then everybody should have got saved. You know, the results are up to Jesus. Our job is just to speak. And Paul knew it. He said, yeah, here I go. You know, and I'm like, I know some of y'all are sitting in here and you're like, you know, some heart sweats maybe. And you're thinking, really? I don't know, man. You know, I'm just going to tell you. Yeah, that's me. Get it. But, you know, I was sitting this morning out there in the hallway and I was thinking about this, you know, how we, you know, we try to finesse our situations so that we can just make the circumstances just perfect, and as soon as it gets just right, we'll be like, yeah, now whoosh, slide the gospel in. Oh yeah, it's gonna be beautiful. And I want to tell you what I think we do. I think we finesse ourselves into silence. You know, I think we need to just, you know, get rid of the finesse, and instead of trying to, you know, do a little surgical knife, just get a hatchet. Just go, you know, you can chop down a tree with a hatchet. So sometimes we have to move on, though, from some people that oppose the message. When an attempt was made by both the Jews and the Gentiles with their rulers to mistreat them and to stone them, they learned of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and to the surrounding country. All right, they're like, yeah, these guys, they want to kill us. I guess we ought to move on. You know, don't be dumb. You know, don't just go stand. You know, it's like, I'm going to go play. I'm going to stand in the middle of 620 and preach the gospel. You know, you'll get run over. You know, and if people are trying to run over you and to kill you, you might want to step aside. You know, it's okay to duck. You know, somebody swings at you. You know, no, I'm taking it for Jesus. You know, pfft, yeah. You know, no, it's okay. It's okay to duck. These guys ducked. They said, yeah, maybe we ought to move on down the road. So they moved on down the road. And look what it says. And there they continued to preach the gospel or speak. I hope that one day it'll be said of me and of us that no matter what happens, we continue to preach the gospel. I just hope that'll be the case. I hope that, you know, maybe someday. I mean, I'm getting so old. I got to get busy. You know, so people will look back and go, yeah, that Charlie, man, he likes to share the gospel, you know, in his old age. But so they moved on, and this is where it starts getting real interesting and fascinating. So at Lystra, there was a man sitting who could not use his feet. He was crippled from birth and had never walked. Oh, look at that. You know, we look at some people and go, yeah, they would never. They would never accept the gospel. Everybody looked at that guy and says, he'll never walk. That guy would never get saved. Yeah, he's way too far gone. Look at this. He's sitting there. He couldn't use his feet. He was crippled from birth and never walked. And he listened to Paul speaking. And Paul looked intently at him, and seeing that he had faith to be made well, said in a loud voice, stand up on your feet. And he sprang up and began walking. Now, here's what's fascinating. The speaking word, he was not standing in the marketplace preaching. They think that the speaking word was actually meant that he's just having a conversation with some bruh right here. He's just over here, and he's talking about the Lord with this guy. They're chatting it up. And crippled man's sitting over here, and he's like listening. He's over here in their conversation. Sometimes, folks, some of the best testimony and the best sharing of the gospel is you just having a conversation with another brother in the hearing of the lost people, because it's important to you. See, that's the whole deal with life groups. You know, life groups isn't the only place that we talk about Jesus. You know, we talk about Jesus, hopefully, at our office. Hopefully we talk about Jesus when we're just hanging out, you know, at the park, you know, or we just say, oh, yeah, you know, they learned to walk. They did. Look at that. Those kids are walking. That's awesome. Those kids, hope they don't fall down. Those kids, here you're all hanging at the park, you know. Dude, go hanging out at the park, you know. Somewhere in there, you know, the gospel, talking about Jesus with your friends and people overhearing. And it says he overheard them talking about the gospel. Because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of Christ. The Bible says that. And Paul looked at him and said, he's got faith. We don't know what all was happening there, but all we know is that he got faith because he heard the word of God being spoke. Because that's where faith comes from. So he heard the word of God getting spoke. And Paul looked and said, God's doing something here. Boom. Paul wasn't there to share the gospel with the crippled man. Paul was talking to this guy, but then the Holy Spirit said, check him out. The guy right there. And Paul's like, yeah, get up and walk. And he did. And then the crowds got crazy. And this is where they get really insane. And they're like, whoa, Zeus and Hermes are in the house. And they're like, whoa, you know, the gods are here. And they were like freaking out. And they're like, we're going to go sacrifice cows to these people. And it's going to be awesome. They're going to have this crazy rage party is what they wanted. They were like, hey, here's this cool spiritual thing happening. We're just going to go, we're going to lose our minds. And it's going to be awesome. They're just looking for a good excuse to lose their mind. And what some folks, there was this legend that circulated in this area at this time that the Greek gods Zeus and Hermes at one point had come to the area, to the hill country. It was just really funny because we live in the hill country. They had come to the hill country and they were looking for hospitality. They were like, hey, who wants to put us up for the night? You know, and nobody would except for this one couple. And so the one couple did. And they were like, boom. And they're like, your house is now going to be filled with gold and marble pillars. And all of a sudden, they've got this house that's like, boom. And everybody else's house that rejected them was destroyed. And so some commentators think that this is what these folks were thinking. Whoa, hey, maybe this is Zeus and Hermes again, and we're going to get ourselves a house out of this. And that's what they were looking for. You know, sometimes there's people that all they want is just the religious rah-rah because they really just want the stuff. They're just looking for the stuff. You know, what's the goods that I'm going to get? They're not caring about getting Jesus. They just want the goods. You know, and so these guys were looking for the goods. And when the Apostle Paul and Barnabas, they heard it, they tore their garments and they ran out there in the crowd and said, look, we are also men of like nature with you, and we bring you good news. It's so important to know who you are, that you and I are people of like nature with the guy down the road who is just blowing up his life. We're both people that need the grace of the gospel. we are also men of like nature with you. He's saying that to the people that are wanting to have a crazy rage and sacrifice cows to them. Okay? You know, and all of us are just as capable of going crazy and sacrificing cows. So he told them, we're just here to bring good news, and you guys need to turn from these vain things to the living God. They challenged them right at their heart right there, because those guys, he's saying, you need to turn from these vain things. Perhaps it's from, you need to turn from your pursuit of prosperity and turn to the living God, because they just wanted a house. These guys just wanted, they just wanted some gold. And he said, you need to switch. And, you know, I don't know, guys. I don't know what you all fear, but we don't need to fear man. We just need to find our voice. And then look what it says. The Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, having persuaded the crowds. They stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. Now, I'm going to tell you, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen videos of people getting stoned, because it still happens today in the Middle East. For crazy stuff. But I'm pretty sure that these folks, they knew when somebody was dead from a stoning. You know, typically what happened with a stoning is you'd take somebody and you'd throw them off a cliff so that they couldn't run away. You know, so that was first, is just toss them, boom, and then be ready with these nice softball-sized rocks and just start pelting them until they're gone. And so that's what they did to Paul. So just like that, they were like, we want to sacrifice cows to you, to boom, take my rocks. And that's what happened. And so there they were. They left him. They said, supposing that he was dead, because they knew what was up. Kind of reminds me of a moment with Moses. Moses is on the mountain hearing from God on behalf of the people, and the Israelites go crazy and say, build us a calf. We need something to worship, because Moses isn't coming down. I don't know where God is. We just need a God we can follow, something that we can touch and cozy up to. Kind of reminds me of that moment. But then, this is the most amazingly, It's like when you're just kind of like nonchalant. That's it. This is the most nonchalant verse, I think, in the Bible. Right here, verse 20. But when the disciples gathered about him, he rose up, entered the city. On the next day, went with Barnabas to Derbe. I mean, it's like, you know, right before that, it just said they stoned him, drug him out of the city because they thought he was dead. Because he probably was close, if not there. And then the disciples gathered about him. He rose up, entered the city, and on the next day, he went on with Barnabas and Derbe, to Derbe. Just got up, took a hike, 18-mile hike, the next day. I don't know if you all been hit by rocks, but you get hit by rocks, and I don't think you're going to be wanting to take an 18-mile hike the next day. But I'm thinking, man, what just happened here? And there's just so much in this that is just like, oh, my goodness. You know, when we start talking about finding our voice and dealing with the pain of persecution and whatnot, there's something really big here for us. I mean, Paul's alive. Mankind is not going to be able to inflict any harm upon you except what God allows. God can preserve your life. No stone will accomplish its purpose apart from the loving, perfect plan of God. Just how it is. You're not, you know, they thought, ha-ha, we got rid of that crazy messenger. And next day he's up, off sharing the gospel again. And then the next verse, right after this, you can't let this leave your mind. He's laying there dead. The disciples gather around him. He gets up. He goes the next day to the next city. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch. Lystra and Iconium. Iconium, he gets stoned. Lystra wanted to stone him. And he went back and strengthened the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith and saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. And they had appointed elders for them in the church. With prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. Here's the thing that I think is really fascinating. The disciples gathered around him. That means there was more than one because it was plural. And I'm going to tell you the biggest problem in the church that silences our voice is we do it alone. We go at it alone. We don't see this as a team sport. But here, they saw it as a team sport. A, when Paul was down, the disciples gathered around him. And next thing you know, Paul is alive and up. Guys, we need to gather around each other because we need the life that comes from community with each other. We're not going to find our voice as a church and as an individual if we're going to, you know, sit at home alone and say, Oh God, I've got to share the gospel with my neighbor. I'm all alone here. I'm the only one that cares. You know, that's just like crazy town. It's going to be, oh brother, oh sister, I've got to share my Lord with blah, 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 and then we gather around, and then that's why we have life groups. You know, that's why we have life groups. If you're not in life group, that's why we have them, because we need each other, because we're dumb. Just going to say we're just weak. And sometimes we fall over and we look like we're dead. And we just need somebody to gather around us so that we can get up and walk and continue on with our ministry of reconciliation to be ambassadors for the gospel. Guys and gals, there's a lot of stuff. Jesus said, in me you will have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. Take heart, I've overcome the world. So here's the deal. If you want to be filled with joy in the Holy Spirit, you got to answer this question. Are you willing to risk persecution for the glory of the Lord? I mean, are you really? Yeah, go baby. Right on. Go Max. Love you, buddy. Are you willing to share your faith if it means losing your life or just the approval of others? Yeah. See, all of us say, I would lose my life for Jesus. But will you be mocked? Will you just be looked at like this? I mean, some of us, that's all it takes. Sorry, Audrey, I'm just using you because you're right there. We never had to spank her growing up. Okay? Some of the others, we did. I'm just saying. But with Audrey, all we had to do, all I did, I just go like this. You know, I was just like, I mean, it was that. I mean, and I can't tell you how many times Chris would come to me and she was like, Audrey really thinks you're mad at her. You looked at her. I just looked at her. That's all it took. I just look at her. You know, some of the other kids that we raised were like, whoops. But with her, you just say, And that's about all we need. Dude, just walk down the hallway and somebody goes, at school, guys. Yeah, what's it going to be? You going to stand for Jesus, or are you just going to walk down the hall and go, yeah, I ain't that guy. I ain't that crazy man. I don't know. What are you all going to do up there on the back row? So, listen to this fabulous quote. Spurgeon. Oh, he's a monster. He says, oh, my brothers and sisters in Christ, if sinners will be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our bodies. Is that how you feel? If they will perish, let them perish with our arms about their knees, imploring them to stay and not madly to destroy themselves. Yeah. I don't know where y'all are with that, but I feel like we need to find our voice when it comes to sharing the gospel. And I want to show you guys a video of students on 620 students on Sunday nights. We've been looking at some of this. And I'm going to tell you right now, a couple weeks ago, trained them in this. And I'm sorry, but Sam, I'm going to call you out because we watched this video. And Sam, he gave it to me. Sorry, buddy. He said, yeah, but you don't know how many people they share the gospel with before the end. It was like, you don't know how much this is, you know? And it's like, and so we watched it again, and he's like, oh, yeah. And then he went and shared it a week later with a group of eighth grade boys, and about 9 or 10 of them got saved. So, people, I want you to watch this video if it'll work. Oh, come on.
Has anyone ever shared
the three circles with you
before?
No.
So this is the first circle. So this represents the world that's broken.
All of us live in a broken world.
You only have to turn on the news and see
suffering, death,
war, sickness,
rape, disease. It's everywhere, right?
But you know, God didn't actually create the world to be like this, full of brokenness, eh? Here's the second circle.
This circle represents God's perfect design.
God's perfect design was a world without brokenness.
A world full of love.
Full of joy and peace, yeah. And unity.
But what we did was, we sinned.
Sin could be anything from lying to murder.
Wait, so like just like normal lying or like hard lying?
And what sin did, it separated us from God's perfect design and threw us into brokenness.
And so people try all kinds of different things to get out of brokenness. They might try drugs or alcohol.
Or maybe chasing a career or money.
Smoking.
Even bullying other people at school.
Oh, sleeping around. Suicide, exactly. Good example.
But it doesn't actually fix the problem of brokenness.
It's like a bungee cord. We just get snapped straight back into brokenness.
And ultimately, if people die in that state of brokenness, and separated from God, and that means that that's eternal separation from God.
Do you know what this place is often called?
Hell.
Yes.
So what God did was, he didn't want to leave us in that place.
God loved us so much that he sent
his son Jesus to die on the cross.
Jesus was God, so he had no sin. And when he died and rose again, he actually took on all of our sin and canceled it, like he crushed it.
He said if we would turn away from our sin and believe in Jesus, and make Jesus
the Lord of our life, we become restored
back into God's original design.
And you become a new creation, a new person in Christ.
And will restore us back into relationship with him. So there's only two kinds of people in this world, people that are in brokenness or God's perfect design. Where would you see yourself?
Probably right there, to be honest.
This is so cool.
I'm not sure.
Hello?
Love. The bungee stage.
Yeah, the same.
And where would you
like to
be? So where would you like to be? You'd like to be here?
Yeah.
One of God.
So here? So is there anything that's stopping you
from turning and believing in Jesus?
And allow him to be Lord and King of your life.
Stubbornness.
Probably not.
Probably
weak,
to be honest.
Nothing's stopping me.
You know the awesome news about Jesus? He is the only way out.
If you try to clean yourself up before coming to Jesus, it's like trying to get clean before you take a shower.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I get that.
Is there anything stopping you?
We shared the three circles with 34 people. Four were already believers. 13 chose to remain in brokenness, but some were deeply impacted. And 17 wanted to leave brokenness and receive Christ. There are many powerful ways to share the gospel, and the three circles is a great place to start.
Yeah. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you there's not anybody in here that's not capable of sharing that. I mean, it's simple. It's real simple, and you can find that on YouTube, by the way. If you have trouble finding it on YouTube, you can ask me, and I'll send you a link. But I believe in you. I believe that you can do it. And so, I mean, the question is real simple. I mean, it's just like, which circle are you in? Are you sitting in brokenness, or are you restored in God's plan? Because Jesus is the one that makes the way for us. And that's what our people all around us need. Everybody needs to hear that. They need to hear that message. That if they will just turn and repent and trust Jesus and the sacrifice that he made on the cross for our sins, we will be restored and back into God's original design. Simple. The gospel is so simple. It's so simple. Even a little child can share it with a big, scary man. So, little children, I ask you, do you want to be filled with joy and the Holy Spirit? Yeah, I don't see it happening apart from being involved in your ministry of reconciliation, being an ambassador. You're not going to find it apart from that. You're not going to just go, I'm just going to sit at home and say, fill me with joy, Holy Spirit. It's not going to happen until you're out, because the Holy Spirit wants to work through you. And when he works through you, he leaves a deposit of joy behind. That's just the wake. Joy is just the wake of the Holy Spirit moving in your life. And you'll just be like, what? So I'm going to tell you, Sam was pretty, you were probably like super depressed after you shared the three circles with those guys. And it was just like, yeah, those guys, you know, they got saved. Yeah. Whatever. Right? Yeah, no. Yeah, it's a cool thing. Sam has a Bible study on Friday mornings. There's 27 boys there this past Friday and listening to the Word of God. And it's cool what God is doing. I'm telling you, God is up to stuff around us, guys. And if you want to see what he's up to, jump on your Ministry of Reconciliation. Get your ambassador pin. Here we go. And away we go. So I think we, I don't know if there's a band anywhere or what. Somewhere out there drinking coffee. So can we just stand and pray together?
Thank you for listening to the Hope Rock Church at Lake Travis podcast. We are a church that is passionate about knowing Christ and making him known in our city, the nation, and the ends of the earth. For more information on who we are, please go to www.hoperockchurch.com or find us on Facebook.